This morning's reading is taken from John, chapter 21, verses 1 to 9 and 12 to 14, which can be found on page 1090 of the Pew Bibles. Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." They did this. They were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard it and say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. They were not far from the shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there, with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead.
Thank you, Alan. If you Google the 22nd of October 2023, you find out a few miscellaneous, maybe irrelevant facts, like today is the 295th day of the year, 65 days to Christmas. It's also in America Make a Dog's Day. It's National Nut Day and National Scar Day. And I thought we'd think about scars today. When I was in my 20s, was tremendously proud because I had a scar about 2 inches in the middle of my hand. And I used to go and see my friends and show them my scar and tell them why I had it and all about it. I was so proud of it. Most of us have scars on our bodies, physical scars that we can see. Some we're proud of, some are hidden. But we're going to think about the story of somebody today who was scarred. There are many stories in the Bible of people who, for some reason or another, were scarred by an experience. Jacob wrestled with God and had a limp afterwards. Paul talks about the thorn in the flesh that he had, that he asked God to take away, but he wouldn't. And then we have David, who was scarred by his mistakes, scarred by things that God was not pleased with. And then we come to Peter, and it's Peter who we've just heard about, and Peter who we're going to think about as we go through the next few minutes. But before we do that, as we look at scars, as we look at people who are scarred in the Bible, we find that we see stories of God's grace. And as we look at our scars, hidden or visible, we often find there are stories of God working in our lives. And the thing about it is that God knows the reason for all our scars, whether we like to hide them or not. And God, when he comes face to face with them, restores us and sends us off again. It's a bit like the Jerome Kern song where it says, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start right over again. That's what God does with us. He forgives us, he sets us off again, and he gives us work to do. And God's work in us and through us isn't finished until he says, stop. And he says, well done. So the thing we think about today is God picking Peter up, God dusting him off, or Jesus actually picking Peter up, dusting him off. And as we look at the story, we can identify with what it feels like to be broken and feels like to be scarred and messed up. And we can see how God can meet us at our lowest point and what he can do. 6 weeks ago, some of us were in the Holy Land. It was very different from today. And we enjoyed peace and beauty. And we visited places special to Christians. And we remembered things that had happened in Jesus' life. And we stood in places where they may well have been. Most of the time, we knew that we couldn't be standing where Jesus had stood because the level of ground in Jerusalem has risen 40 feet since his time. So we're not likely, as we walk along the Via Dolorosa, to have our feet on the stones that his were on. But never mind. It was special to be in those places. And in some of them, it was just so, God's presence was just so amazing as we thought about what had happened. We went to some steps, and they were probably the steps that Jesus had been led up on the way to his trial after Gethsemane, that he'd have been taken up to the house of Caiaphas, where he was tried. And in that area, we remembered Jesus's trial, and we remembered Peter. Peter, who had followed Jesus at a distance, who'd gone into the courtyard, who'd sat by a fire as Jesus's trial happened. And who came to him? A servant girl. And who came to him? Two more different people. And each one said to him, are you one of the disciples? And each time, Jesus very definitely said, I am not. And then the cock crowed. So Peter, who had publicly declared his loyalty to Jesus, yes, Lord, he said, you are the Christ and I will follow you. I'll lay down my life for you. Now in the courtyard, publicly, he said he didn't know him. And he went out and he wept bitterly. But time flew on for Peter and the disciples. It was an emotional kaleidoscope. It was an emotional roller coaster. The ups of Palm Sunday, the desolation of the cross, and the joy of the resurrection. And alongside all these things, Peter and the disciples had remorse and had guilt that they'd let Jesus down, that they questioned him. They were full of grief that they'd lost their friend and their Lord and their leader and their teacher. They were fearful because they thought that the authorities might want to kill them. And they could not comprehend what it was all about. And so desolate and broken and wounded, Peter and his friends went back to Galilee. And there in that place of beauty and peace, they were at home. And this is what we tend to do, isn't it? When we're in trouble, when we are troubled, we go to familiar places where we can rest and relax with familiar people and start being restored. And just as we do, Peter was there with his friends who were supporting him, who knew similar pain to him. And there, together, they went back to work. All these things that we do when we're feeling pretty broken. Family, friends, comfortable places, things that we know we can do. Help us to be restored. But fishermen actually need fish in order to feel that they really are back home doing their job. And that day, when Peter went back fishing, there were no fish. There was a man on the shore who said, "Try the other side." Now, fishermen are not usually keen to be told where to fish. But anyway, they did, and the net was full. And the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Here's another time when maybe we're so busy doing what we're doing, or busy in our grief and our sorrow, to know that the Lord's there. But John said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And he jumped and swam to him. And I'm not going into all the great detail that's in the passage, because actually that's not where I want us to go. But John said, "Go, it's the Lord," and Peter swam. Peter rushed into the water, and Jesus said to him, "Bring some fish, let's have breakfast." And they celebrated the meal together. They remembered the fish and bread as Jesus fed the 5,000. They remembered the bread and the wine as Jesus had given his disciples and shared that Last Supper. And at the end of their meal, Jesus and Peter alone walked along the beach. The Sea of Galilee is beautiful. And as they walked, Jesus and Peter talked. And here you can sense Jesus's love for the broken Peter. He talked to him and he said, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me?" Now Simon, he used the name Simon. Back to square one. Remember who you are, Simon, not Peter. "Simon, do you love me?" And he gave Peter three opportunities to undo his denials and reaffirm his love and his loyalty. And at each of these questions, as Peter replied, he didn't get a pat on the back. He got something to do. And as a result of Peter coming and squaring his failure with Jesus and receiving Jesus's forgiveness, he was given more to get on with. And that happens to us so much, that as we come to Jesus and confess our failure and confess our sins, we find that he builds us up, he forgives us, and he sets us off again. The thing is that Jesus had gone right to Peter where it hurts. And in his love, he trusted Peter to turn his wobbly love, his wobbly commitment, into fruitful work. As I say, with God, we've never finished, and failure is never the end. So Jesus takes Peter, scarred and broken, and restores him into something beautiful. And it happened in the place where he had been disgraced. I'm reminded, as I think of Peter, and I've thought of him a lot over these last weeks, especially that scene at Galilee, but I'm reminded of the Japanese kintsugi, the beautiful bowls that have been broken and yet have been repaired with gold. And as you look at them, you see the cracks, you know they've been broken, but you know that a master craftsman has taken gold and sealed them up and put them back together and made them even more beautiful than they were before. And I think that for me is the picture of how God takes us in our broken and weak moments and puts us back together And he puts us back together, not in the way that you and I would take super glue and sort of fumble around and put it together and hope for the best. He puts us back together so beautifully that there's gold there in the brokenness. It's publicly visible. Our scars are publicly visible for God's glory. Some of our wounds are obvious, like accident or sickness. But two, we have hidden wounds. We have wounds of grief. We have wounds of failure. We have wounds of sin that we can't shake off. We have wounds of doubt. Or we might be wounded by formative experiences that have scarred us, or fears. And even now, there might be things that we've still got to deal with and offer to him and ask him to forgive. But we need to know that, as with Peter, he knows us. And he will metaphorically walk along that beach with us and talk with us and listen to us and forgive us and heal us. Because Jesus knows what it is to be human and what it is to be tempted in every way. He was despised and wounded and rejected and forsaken. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He bears the scars of his love and his death for us. So just as he met Peter on the shore, he meets us and he offers us abundant forgiveness and abundant healing and abundant blessing. I was suddenly reminded as I was thinking about this of the way in which a sheep is branded to show ownership. And sometimes it's that branding of us too, his ownership, that matters. We are his. I'm going to read to you a couple of verses that Peter wrote, Peter the old man, and it's just from 1 Peter. And he says, "You may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater work than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, honor, and glory when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." This is what our God does in us and through us and for us. To him be the glory. Amen.